tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Wear a mask.
Masks are violations of our freedom.
Black lives matter.
All lives matter.
Send the kids to school in the fall.
Don't send the kids to school in the fall.
Redskins is a derogatory term.
The Indians aren't even offended by it.
Call them Native Americans, not Indians.
The Bible says homosexuality is a sin.
You are a bigot and homophobic.
Is anyone else exhausted? Like, I'm tired, y'all. I try my best to be a positive voice and to shine God's light and to make a difference, but almost every time I get online, there is so much divisiveness, and there's so much brokenness, and there's so much ugliness. And we've been doing this thing, Next Level Church, for 8 years, and for 8 years, I feel like my message has been pretty consistent, that we want to love Jesus, love people, and make a difference. And a theme that has carried through this message, some of you have been there at the very beginning, but something that I've talked about a lot is that it's incredibly important not just for Christians to love God, but it's also important for us to love one another and to love our fellow people. That Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and your mind, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor like you love yourself. And I feel like I've been doing this whole Christian thing for a minute, but yet we're not making a dent into the darkness. Like, it feels like things are worse now than they've ever been. I don't go around and I don't see that, you know what, man, Christians are just really, we're changing the world. Like, this consistent message of loving God and loving people, it's radically changing things. In fact, when I get online, I see an opposite message. 2 weeks ago, the hashtag cancel Christianity went, it was trending on Twitter. And I don't know if you're on Twitter or not, but they have certain things that trend. It means it's the most popular things throughout the week. And cancel Christianity made the top 10 list, where people were saying that Christians are the problem. Let's cancel Christianity. That idea crept over into TikTok, and I saw multiple posts with the hashtag cancel Christianity. And so I decided to do a post that was addressing this idea of canceling Christianity. And my post simply said that this isn't the first time someone tried to cancel Christianity. The Roman government tried to cancel Christianity. And the response of the Christians was not to fight back or not to yell or not to try to cancel them. The response of Christians was to love the very people who were persecuting them. And that was my message. And it's only a minute long. The app only allows you to do 15 seconds or a minute long videos. And so it was a pretty short but direct message. And I got a comment from an atheist on my post, and the atheist said, cancel all religion. Don't flatter yourself into believing it's because of Jesus when it's actually because of his ridiculous followers. Now, the thing is that I don't think that this atheist, I don't know this person, it's a stranger online, I don't think that this atheist actually paid attention to my post, because the truth is I agree with this atheist. I don't hear people in our culture saying cancel Jesus. I don't hear people in our culture saying we have an issue with Jesus. The issue is with Christians and the way that we treat one another and the way that we treat those who do not belong into Christianity. And the response has been not that we are known for what we are for, it's that we are known for what we are against. That the response for those that have nothing to do with Christians is, you know what, they don't bring any value to the table, so let's just get rid of them. Let's just tear them up. Let's just forget them. Let's destroy them. And it's exhausting because my heart is that I want to make a difference. But I can't do it on my own. And that's why I'm so excited about this series that we're in. Because this series is, the goal is to inspire, to motivate, to challenge, for God to speak to us in a way where Christians take their faith serious and we go out into the world and we actually make a difference. Where someone might say, I do not believe in your God, but I do believe in your love. I may not believe in your church, and I may not believe in your Bible, but I cannot ignore that you treat each other better than anyone else in the world. But I don't see that yet, and I need some help. I think if we actually did this, we would stand out in our culture. In fact, that's what a unicorn is. A unicorn, it is a mythical creature that pukes rainbows and toots glitter, but in our culture, a unicorn also means something that is highly desirable but difficult to obtain. A unicorn is something that is highly desirable but difficult to obtain. That, in my opinion, when I read through the Gospels, when I read through the Bible, when I read about how Christians treated one another, to me it feels like unicorn Christianity, that's what we are called to do, that we are to be so different that people would say, you know what, that the way they love each other, that's difficult to obtain. It's difficult to have grace for one another when they have differences. It's difficult to have patience for one another. It's difficult, but yet they are doing it. And here's what I know. I know that you're not perfect. And I'm not perfect. You have your own issues. You have your own problems. You might be feeling the weight of this pandemic in a very similar way to how I'm feeling it. We all have our problems. We all have our issues. But can I just encourage you and let you know that the kingdom of God is not made of superhumans. The kingdom of God is made up of everyday, ordinary people who allow God to use them to change the world. And that's a unicorn Christian. The post that I did on TikTok, a Christian responded to the atheist's response. And the Christian said, "Why don't we cancel atheism?" And my response to that Christian is that we don't respond to hate with hate. We don't respond to cancellation with more cancellation. Nobody wins with that. We respond when they try to cancel us with loving them like we would want to be loved. And so how do we do that? How do we practically do that? Because that's not easy, right? The natural response is when someone's mean to me, I want to be mean to them. When someone comes after me and tries to cancel me, I want to cancel them. So how do we actually live out like the Christians from the earliest days in Scripture? Well, I want to show you a verse that I hope that God speaks to you in this verse. What I really hope is that you would pay attention and allow God to speak to you, because I think if we would apply this verse, if we would listen, if we would do what this verse says, I really do think that we would be unicorn Christians in a way that we would see the world changed in our lifetime. In order to do that, we're going to spend some time in Colossians 4:6, and I want to invite you to stand to your feet. We're going to read, this is our theme verse for today. It is written by the Apostle Paul. He's a primetime player in the Scriptures. And we're going to read this nice and loud. And we like to have a little bit of fun. And this is extra important for right now, because there has to be a lot less of us in here because of social distancing. So there's a little less energy. So I need you guys to do this next part with as much energy as you possibly can. Pretend you've had 5 cups of coffee. What I'm talking about is when we get to the reference, we are going to have a little bit of fun. And the reference is Colossians 4:6. Between the 4 and the 6, there's 2 dots. I just want you to get your arms in it. I just want you to wake up a little bit and say dot, dot. But do it like you mean it. Do it like your life depends on it. Let's read it nice and loud. It says, "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Colossians 4, dot, dot, 6. I like that kick. That was nice. That was a nice addition. That's great. Will you pray with me? And I want to give you a moment just to talk to God. I loved our moment of worship and our moment of communion. And I don't want to rush into this sermon too much. I want to give you a chance just to simply talk. And here's what I want to invite you to ask God. Would you invite God to speak to your heart in a personal way? Would you spend a few seconds just praying and talking to Him? God, this is a holy moment. The fact that we get to meet publicly with other people who are struggling through this earth but are trying to their best to live for you, God, this is an amazing holy moment. And God, I just ask that you would use it, that we would not rush past this, but that you would speak to our hearts in a personal way. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So the scriptures that we're going to cover today, it is Paul's final thoughts to the church in Colossae. He writes a letter to some Christians. We call this letter Colossians. And this is like the end of it. I highly encourage you to read the Bible on your own every day. And I highly encourage you to visit the entire letter of Colossians. There's a lot of good stuff in it. But what you need to know is that Paul's giving his like last charge. It would be like this, that a coach meets with a team every single day of the week and gives them the game plan and gives them the strategy. But now we're a few minutes before the game is actually going to start, and the coach gives his final last words. Just do this. Go win. Apply this, and you're going to get a victory. This is Paul's coaching moment, his final charge as he's leaving the letter. It's his final thoughts for Christians. And this is what Paul says in Colossians 4:2. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Now, the theme verse that we read, we're going to get to it in just a moment, but before we get to it, I think it's really important that Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer. Why? Because what Paul is going to tell us to do is impossible to do without God. And way too many Christians are living life without the fuel to their soul. The fuel to our soul, the way that like gas is to a car, prayer is the fuel to our soul. It is so difficult to change the world when you try to do it on your own strength. We can't do it on our own strength. But when we get into the presence of God, when we pray, it connects us to God. Now, there's something interesting that happens with prayer that Christians get to do that no one else gets to do. When it comes to prayer, we pray to God the Father. And the only reason we have access to God the Father is because we believe in His Son Jesus, that we pray to God through His Son. So when we pray, the reason we end our prayers with "in Jesus' name" is because it's giving us the authority to walk into the room of God. But how do our prayers get from lowly earth human beings up to God? It is through what is called the Holy Spirit. So when you pray, there's a lot going on. You're praying to God the Father through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. It reminds me of this meme that I recently saw. I thought it was funny. Hope you will laugh at it as well. The meme says, people ask me, do I need the Holy Spirit to go to heaven? Bruh, you need the Holy Spirit to go to Walmart. I think that's pretty funny. But there's some truth in that, right? Walmart can be infuriating. Getting on Facebook can be infuriating. Hearing people talk about all these controversial topics can be infuriating. It can be maddening. So why in the world would we start our day without talking to God? We need the Holy Spirit in order to change the world. And how do we have the Holy Spirit fill us up and give us what we need? It's when we devote ourselves to prayer. So I want to encourage you and challenge you. Before you get out of bed tomorrow, would you start talking to God? And maybe you say, well, I don't know what to talk to God about. Well, just talk to Him about what's important. You talked about, just go through your calendar. God, I have this meeting. God, I'm going to get on Facebook at some point today, and I want you to prepare me, because right now I want to kill someone, and I haven't even been on Facebook yet. God, would you do something in my heart? Help me to respond in a way that honors you. So Paul says that as Christians, we are to devote ourselves to prayer. We are to give thanks in all circumstances. And the reason that we do that is so that we can then apply what he says in Colossians 4:5. It's going to come on the screen. Look at what it says. It says, be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. So the reason we devote ourselves to prayer is so that we can have the wisdom to how do we interact with people who are outsiders. What is an outsider? Well, Paul would say an outsider is someone who does not believe in Jesus, someone who says, I'm not a part of the church, that Christians are to be the salt and the light of the world, that we are to be wise in the way that we interact with other people. Now, what is wisdom? Well, I love the way that the ancients defined the word wisdom. Wisdom is the art of skillful living. It is knowing when to talk and when to keep your mouth shut. It is knowing when to give an answer and when to just say, hey, I'm going to pass on this. Wisdom is skillful living. And the opposite of wisdom is foolishness. Well, what is a fool? A fool is someone who knows the difference between right and wrong, but chooses to do what's wrong anyway. Don't show your hands, but we all got a little fool in us, right? We all know the difference between right and wrong, and yet sometimes we choose to do what is wrong anyway. And this is why we have to devote ourselves to prayer, because we need God's strength to do what we know we should do. And Paul says, be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. How do we do that? Well, the next sentence says, make the most of every opportunity. Did you guys know that you have other people watching you? Not in like a crazy stalker way. I'm not trying to scare anyone. Like, hopefully no one's peeking through your windows. But someone is watching you. And if they know or they hear that you are a churchgoer or they hear that you're a Christian, they are filtering your interactions through that lens. And so when you get online, people are watching how you interact with one another. When you talk to people at your job, people are watching. Does this line up with Christianity? Do they reflect Jesus? When you hang out with your family, your words are supposed to reflect Jesus. We are to be wise in everything we do. Why? Because there's people who are watching. Right now, you have influence over someone who does not go to church, who you are the only Jesus that they know. And they just want to know, is it real? Does Jesus really make a difference in your life? Do you really care about him? And the way that you treat other people and the way that I treat other people, it has an opportunity to make a difference. Paul says, make the most of every opportunity. It reminds me of a few years ago. I have twins, and a handful of years ago, they received a good amount of money for their birthday. They both got about $70 each, which for little kids was a lot of cash. And instantly, they wanted to go to the toy store. This is back when we used to have Toys R Us. And they wanted to spend all of their $70 on stuffies. They call stuffed animals stuffies. And we quickly said, you cannot spend all $70 on stuffies. And they're like, well, it's our money. And we're like, yeah, we understand that, but we want to try to teach you some lessons. And so part of the money that you've gotten for your birthday, you are going to give back to God, because it's a blessing that God has given you this money. And so we want you to give that back to God. You do that through the local church. Part of that money, you're going to save for a rainy day. And I know as a kid, you don't think you're going to have a rainy day, but I promise you, in a week, you're going to want another toy. And if you spend all of your money, you won't be able to buy it. So we're going to save some of that money. But then you get to spend a lot of that money. We're going to cut the limit for what we're going to allow you to spend is $30. That's a lot of money for a kid. And if you want to spend all $30 on a bunch of stuffies, you can do that. Now, some of you don't have kids, and some of you, it's been a while since you've gone to the toy store buying a stuffy for a kid. Stuffies are kind of expensive. Depending on what you get, you can get like two decent-sized ones, three decent-sized ones for $30, or you could get a bunch of little, you know, flimsy ones for $30. Like, we left it up to them. However they want to spend that $30, they can spend it. So we walk into Toys R Us, and we go down the very first aisle, and as I'm about halfway down the aisle, my daughter starts to tug on my shirt, and I said, yes, baby, and she says, what is 50%? And I'm like, well, like, I need a little bit more context. What do you mean, what is 50%? She's like, well, if something says 50%, what does that mean? And I'm like, well, I'm assuming it means it's 50% off, which means if it costs a certain amount, you get to cut that amount in half, and you don't have to pay that full amount. And she was totally lost by my explanation. And so I said, baby, just show me what you're talking about. I don't know where you're coming up with this 50%. Just take me there. And so she takes my hand, and we turn around, and I don't know how she saw this, because down a separate aisle, she saw something when she first walked into the store, and her eyes locked onto it. And she takes my hand, and we walk back down the aisle, we turn the corner and walk down a different aisle, and on this aisle, at the very top of the shelf, was the world's largest pink unicorn. It was $60 at 50% off. Which meant she could buy it. So my daughter walks out of the toy store. We have a picture of her buying with this unicorn. That, my friends, is how you make the most of every opportunity. Are there limitations to what she could spend? Yes. We told her she couldn't spend all $70, but she took what she had and she maximized it. Did you know, as a Christian, you're called to do the exact same thing with your words? That every opportunity, every conversation that you have is an opportunity to point people back to Jesus. We are called to make the most of every single opportunity. Is it hard? Yes. Do we have limitations? Yes. Is it tricky to be patient with people when they are being jerks? Yes. But that's why we devote ourselves to prayer. Paul then says from there, Colossians 4:6, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let your conversation be always. Would you humor me and on the count of three, just say the word always. One, two, three.
Always.
Always. my family, we have a rule that we don't use words like always, because always and never are relationship killers. Like, if my wife says, you never take out the trash, I'm like, honey, I took out the trash 3 times this week. Let me tell you about that. And we start arguing about how often I take out the trash. So we don't use words. They are horrible to use in relationships. And yet Paul didn't get that memo, because Paul says in every conversation, always, always, in every conversation that you have, always be full of grace. Well, what if they're a jerk to me? Always be full of grace. Well, what if they're an idiot? Always be full of grace. But what if they say something that's not true? Someone needs to shut them down. Always be full of grace. What if they're wrong? Always be full of grace. Always. How often is always? It's always. Always be full of grace. And that actually takes us to our big idea for today. Our big idea, which if you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to do this, or feel free to post it online. I love posting things on Facebook because I get a reminder of it next year. And so I want to encourage you to do something similar. But just write this down, at least so you can think about it. The big idea for today is unicorn Christians do not respond until their response is full of grace. Unicorn Christians do not respond until their response is full of grace. So what does that mean practically? That means when you hear something controversial, you may have to take a pause to pray about it before you give a response. Did you know it's okay to not have an opinion about every controversial thing in our culture today? Did you know that it's okay to not share every opinion that you have inside your head? Did you know that every opinion that you have, if you're a Christian, is supposed to turn people back to Jesus? So if you can't do that, then as a Christian, you know what we do? We hold on to that thought, and we don't share it. Why? Because someone is always watching. You never know if that waiter or waitress who gave you bad service, you never know how they are watching your response to them. And what happens if you tell them off, which you should probably complain or let them know that the service wasn't bad. I'm not saying you just ignore it or don't have hard conversations. But if you chew them out and you fuss at them for their bad behavior, what happens if the very next Sunday they're the very person that is sitting in this room with you? What are they thinking about? They're not thinking about the God that you serve. They're thinking about how you treated them. What about at your job? At your job, it's difficult to deal with people. And the way that you speak to one another, the way that you treat them, just imagine for a second that you tell someone off at your job or you fuss at someone at your job, and then the very next week they're sitting in this building. What are they thinking about in that moment? You never know who is watching you. You never know who you may interact with later on. And so is it difficult to have every conversation seasoned with grace? Yes, that's why we spend every second praying, God, help me to do this. I'm not going to respond until I can respond with grace. And if I can't respond with grace, I'm just going to shut my mouth. Let your conversation always be full of grace. Now, some of you are thinking, yeah, this is a unicorn thing. That's something that's highly desirable but difficult to obtain. Some of you are thinking, you know what, Rob, I think you've messed up this whole unicorn thing. I want to be a unicorn, but you're like this meme that I saw. I wish I were a unicorn so I could stab idiots with my head. I get it. The natural human reaction to those that we disagree with is to, man, I just want to take them out. I want to cancel them. They're the problem. But guys, we don't change the world by bringing what the world brings. We change the world by being different. And Paul says the way that you start that is first by going to God in prayer. And once you've gone to God in prayer, then every conversation always, always should be full of grace. He then says, season with salt, the second part of Colossians 4:6. Our conversations are to be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know the answer to everyone. Well, salt, anyone like salt? Anyone like salt? Kind of. How do you not like salt? Salt is amazing. It may not be good for us, but man, I love salt. Salt is amazing. And in Paul's day and age, salt was not just used for flavor, it was also used to preserve food so that the food lasted longer. And so what is Paul saying with our conversations? Paul's saying that with every conversation that you have, It should be held in such a way that it should have so much grace in it that when you leave the conversation, people are still thinking about the words that you said. Season with salt. That as they move on with the conversation, as they move on with their life, as they move on to a new subject, they can't help but think, man, you know what? They pointed me back to Jesus. They spoke to me in a way that was kind, even though I was not kind to them. Let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Multiple times in the scriptures, it tells Christians that we are to be a salt and a light to the world. So Paul is echoing the very words of Jesus. And can I just be 100% real and transparent with you? I'm just getting tired of trying to be the salt, because it just doesn't seem like it's making a difference. And I'm trying my best to be positive, and I'm trying my best to share love with people, but it just feels like everywhere I go, it's a dumpster fire. And I'm just giving you this message to say that you are called to be the salt and light of Jesus, and I need you, because together we are better. And if you are here and you're a Christian, you can no longer be passive and say, well, I'll just be silent. I just won't speak about my faith. I just won't talk to people about my faith. You cannot do it, because the world is looking. And right now, the only thing the world sees is a bunch of broken Christians, and their response is, let's just cancel them. So if you're here and you love Jesus, I know it's difficult, but we have to apply this verse, because life and death is on the line. So what's the big idea today? Unicorn Christians do not respond until their response is full of grace. I want to give you a moment to really think about that and to really resonate with that. Before you send a reply email to someone that you're upset with, before you choose someone out, before you have a conversation, before you share an opinion, would you please know that as a Christian, you are called to be full of grace. Unicorn Christians do not respond until their response is full of grace. And that takes us to today's win. Today's win is to ask God to change our heart towards those we disagree with. It's to ask God to change our heart towards those who we don't like. It's to ask God to give us the strength that only He can give to have conversations that are full of grace and seasoned with salt. To ask God to give us the desire to pray. Because without God, we cannot do what He's called us to do. So the win this week is to ask God to change our hearts. Why? Because it starts with you. You can't change anyone else, but you can ask God to change your heart. So ask God to start with you. Will you pray with me? God, we come before You. And we do ask that You would do something inside our hearts. We ask, God, that You would stir something inside of us, that this wouldn't just be another Sunday where we gather together, but that, God, something that would be said would season our hearts, that we would walk away from here thinking about Your word and what You've called us to do, and that, God, we would own our faith, and that we would live our faith in a way that causes other people to realize Your love. And we ask that You would do what only You can do, in Jesus' name.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.